Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 4 together. Let's all stand as we read together and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your awesome power. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, What a Glorious Father. What a glorious Father. Most of us can actually say, thank you, Jesus, we had a blessed Father. And then there are some men, not just here, but throughout this nation, they were raised in a fatherless home. And so they never understood what fatherhood truly represented. And so a young man who is in a home that's fatherless is always looking to be loved, is always looking for an authoritative figure. And there's unfortunate things that take place is because they end up finding themselves in wrong crowds and being raised up by gang members and things of that nature. But truly, you know what they're looking for? They're looking to be loved and wanted and that their life counts. And so they venture into these areas. But when you understand that when there's a true loving father that's there to raise up their sons and daughters in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that will never fail. And nothing will come back void. Can I get an amen? And so let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, and then we can be seated. And let's read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies. And God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Man, just going back to this verse alone. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. One of the things that we're going to identify in this message is just that. It's how our Heavenly Father had tremendous mercy on us. And we're going to see in this message his heart toward those, especially those who go astray. Many of us think, and we have misconceived ideas that when we go astray, that he's up there with a baseball bat ready to beat us on the head. That's contrary to the fact. The fact is that he is wanting us to return to him with a love that's beyond our human comprehension. We'll truly never understand this side of eternity on his true love toward mankind, toward you and I, especially for those who go astray. And one of the reasons why we go astray is because we still live in this sin-natured body. And so, Jesus was a skillful storyteller, and perhaps his most masterful parable was that of the prodigal son, which we've been learning these last couple of weeks. And not so much learning, but being reminded of God's grace. You see, saints, when Jesus told this story, his audience was composed of tax collectors and sinners who were drawn to him, as well as the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees who criticized him for his association with sinners. Both these groups needed a lesson on grace and mercy, the mercy of God. And so that's exactly what the parable of the prodigal delivers. It's a portrait. It's a painting. It's a Picasso painting, meaning a painting of brilliance. Only a masterful hand can draw this painting, and this hand is from heaven. Saints, the parable of the prodigal son who asked his father for the share of the estate, he left home, and we all know that he wasted the inheritance. But perhaps the most amazing character in this story is the forgiving father. And that's going to be our focus this morning, the forgiving father. Jesus was teaching that no one has sinned to such a degree that it's impossible to turn back to God in repentance and receive forgiveness. You see, this is what the devil wants to do. He wants to conjure up lies so that you would walk around with guilt and shame and make you have a preconceived idea that God will never take me back. That's a lie from the pit. That's a smoke screen. This is the devil at his best in throwing out smoke bombs so that you can't see clearly down the road. And so we're going to put the enemy to shame this morning, because when we understand that God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You see, God gave. God didn't take. He gave us life. He gave everything to us here on earth. God is a giver, not a taker. He will never take anything from us. But he will give us everything we need to survive here. Look at 1 John, how he talks about the Father. Look at this right up here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. You know, when you take that word bestowed, that means plentiful, abundantly, poured out upon our life, where we will get drowned in his love. That's what he wants us to be saturated within him. He wants to understand the depths of his love, despite of our shortcomings, despite of ourselves, despite of our error of our ways. He wants us to understand that if all we have to have is the faith the size of a mustard seed, that we can clearly see his heart and that we can walk around with his heartbeat. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. You see, when we get saved, our friends, our family members, our co-workers, they don't understand you no more. Why? Because all they see, number one, is an exterior change, but they can't see what took place on the inward parts of us. And only God can do that supernatural work. Only he can. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Say that with me. We are children of God. Come on, one more time. We are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Oh, come on. Come on, that's right. These raggedy bodies that we're dragging around, hallelujah, one day we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. That's the promise of the Father. Look at this. He is revealed. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to do a recap. And we have to go back to the first week. Then we're going to recap the second. But let's recap. Remember the older son? This is what he was weighed down with. And I kind of gave you an illustration a week or two ago where the man is crawling like this, all weighted down, and yet his finger is still pointing and accusing. All this thing weighed down, heavy laden. He was dealing with anger and bitter and resentfulness and self-righteousness, and he was jealous. The rejection, I reject that brother for coming back. Unforgiving, he didn't forgive his brother. Disrespect, he disrespected his father because his father wanted his son, was wanting his son to come back. Accusing his father, how could you? I've been so good to you in this house. I was faithful. How can you bring that boy back? Biting and caustic and piercing words. So that was the older son. We remember that. And then we talked about the younger son, the prodigal son. His desire was, I think it's better over there. Let me just say this. It always looks good on the other side of the fence until you hop over the fence. And guess what? You find out you have to water that lawn too. Oh, that's right. Oh, man, you know what? This one's getting old. I need to trade this one in. And then you find out in the morning, ooh, that person has to brush their teeth too. Yeah, it always looks good. It always looks better until you finally obtain sometimes an ungodly desire, and God has to show you, did you really think it was going to be better? He had a decision. And his decision was, I'm going to grab all my ducats and I'm gone. That means money. And then he departed. He said, I'm gone. Listen, some of you have teens and close to young adults at home. If they want to depart, let them. Let them go. Let them find out. But you know what? Always be there for them. Always be there for them. Because they're going to think it's better on the other side of the fence. Just be there for them. And that's when you can really minister to them. Amen? Because they would have learned something in life. Wandering. The son was wandering. He was wandering in a land that ended up being a hog pen. He went from Las Vegas lights. And just let me just say this. There's a whole lot of lights in Vegas, but you know what? It's just glitter. There ain't no real light there. And that's what he saw. He saw all the glitter. And then it fizzed out like a firecracker. You know how the fireworks, they're beautiful. They sound and you see them explode and then they go, they're gone. That's how fast a season of sin will go. And wanting. He wanted. I want more. I'm not content. And so our focus this morning now is God our Father. God our Father. And so in this story, there were some steps of the Father to his Son. Let's look at these steps of what the Father had to endure. Listen, if we can be distraught sometimes of our natural kids, just imagine God and how we entreat our Heavenly Father. Aren't you so blessed that when we decide to sin, that he's not up there waiting to stamp us out? You ever been on the beach and you see a big old red ant crawling up, and the first thing you do is like, ah. You stamp it out. Why? Because you don't want that ant to bite you. We bite God all day long sometimes. And he's still merciful. He's still long-suffering. He still loves us despite of ourselves. And so let's look at this, because when the son left, God had a wounded heart. To have his son take his inheritance and leave, it wounded his heart. The prodigal's father was hurt by his son's desire to have his inheritance early and leave the home he'd given him. Man, that's a tough thing to do. Nah, it's better over there. Yeah. And then the father, he wondered about him continually. In other words, his son was always in his heart, wandering, wondered, how's he doing? I'm hope he's doing well. We have to look at it in the natural first before we can look at it in the spiritual sense. Because Jesus was painting a picture of a father, not knowing that he's also was, it was symbolic to our Heavenly Father. But just imagine, have you ever had any kids that just strayed away? I think some of you can relate to that, huh? And while they're out there, I'm sure you wondered, are they doing okay? Will they live another day? Are they safe? Do they have food to eat? Oh, come on. Especially a mother's heart. But he wondered about him continually. And like any parent whose child is far from home, this dad was concerned for his son, whether he was making a good choices or the need that he had. But one thing that Jesus painted here, and this is, man, I'm telling you, this is why I love God so much. Because I didn't get saved till I was 30. For some of you, praise God, you got saved in an earlier age. But I was a knucklehead for 30 years until God had to apprehend my spirit. But it's right up here. He waited patiently. He waited. In other words, he sensed that somehow, some way, that son was going to return home again. As parents today, as they wait for the renegade sons and daughters to return, this father longed for his son. It was a relentless pursuit of him, meaning he was determined, my son was coming home. Saints of God, for those of you that know family members, children that have gone wayward, you have to believe God. Hallelujah, that he's going to bring them home. Can I get amen? Amen. You can't give up. You see, we get bought into what the devil has shown us. But we need to rebuke that lie. Can I get amen? You have to speak those things as if they were so. My son is going to preach the word. My son is going to be a soul winner. My son is going to worship God here in this house with me. My daughter, too. You got to have a made-up mind. You can't allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to paint a picture on who they are, because that's a lie from the pit. Can I get amen? This father never gave up. Matter of fact, not only did he wait patiently for him, he watched for him. He expected him to come. He would look out of his window. I know this might be the day he's coming. You have to believe God. You have to believe God for the wayward children. Some of you have nephews and nieces and cousins. You have aunts and uncles. Some of you have parents that don't serve God. Can I get amen? But you got to patiently wait for them, and you got to watch for them that they will come into the house of God and be saved. His son was never far from this father's thoughts as he watched the road to see if he was returning soon. Because in the father's heart, he wanted his son to return soon. Soon. I want him now. He already missed him. He already missed him. And you have to have a made up mind that when they go astray, oh God, bring them home soon. Because every day is critical. Can I get amen? And so whatever had happened in his son's life would never cause this dad to reject him. His desire was to see him as soon as possible, and that should be our attitude as well. Because we cannot prevent them from leaving. They got their own free will. Can I get amen? But when they leave, you hope for the best. And you hope that they left in a right manner. But even if they leave in a waywardness, don't give up on them. Never give up on them. Can I get an amen? And so now, he's watching, he's waiting. And when the day finally came, what did he do? When the sun came, what did he do? Did he look out the window? Muzzle the dog, close the blinds. We're not here. You ever send someone, go see who's at the door. I'm not here. Tell them I'm not home. Oh, we don't do that, do we? Huh? I don't want nothing to do with him. He cursed at me. He lied to me. He brought shame to our home. See, that's what the devil wants you to believe. But not God. Bible tells me that he welcomed him home. He welcomed him home. Eventually the day came when the father saw his son on the road while he was still a long way off. He felt compassion and he ran to meet him. Instead of greeting him with reproofs, meaning, you shouldn't have left. I told you that would happen. How could you have done that? You spent all your money. No, he did not do that, did he? He repeatedly embraced and kissed his son despite of his filthy condition. He smelled like a homeless person. He was feeding the hogs. Listen, by the grace of God, you know how it is when we go out to feed the homeless. There's that peculiar stench on them. You know that. They haven't bathed probably in weeks, months maybe. And they have that peculiar smell. Just imagine this boy coming home. As soon as he probably came in the house, the whole house smelled like that. It's like this. You're walking on someone's lawn and you didn't know that you stepped on a dog poo. And now you're walking in someone's house and check your shoe, man. Maybe you ought to check your pants. Well, just imagine how this guy came home. He was feeding the pigs and he was eating their food. You're talking about halitosis. We're just keeping it real here because this is how he came home. I'm not making any stories up here. This is how he came home that way. The young man barely managed to get out of his confession of sin and of unworthiness to be called his son before his father called the servants to bring out the best robe and a ring and sandals to clothe him. Before he could say, oh, Father, I've sinned. My son is coming home. I look at this scenario no differently. When the custodian led me to the cross, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Like Brother G would say, I was toe up from the flow up. And God didn't kick me out of his house. He loved on me. He set me free. He gave me a new life, a new walk, a new talk. He reclothed me. He gave me a new vocabulary. I didn't have to say those words anymore. He deleted that file in my mind, and it just didn't go into the trash bin. He deleted it from the trash bin, too. You can retrieve things from the trash bin. But he gave them sandals and clothes and a ring. Then he told them to kill the fatted calf and prepare a feast to celebrate his son's return. Saints, through this story, Jesus was using an earthly father to depict the readiness of the heavenly father to forgive those who would come to him in humble repentance, no matter how far they have strayed from him. It don't matter with God. So Jesus goes on further in the Gospels to teach us. Just like I was reproved on our leadership meeting. These men, beautiful men, what they said to me, teach us, teach me. I said, man, Lord, you gave me a revelation here. You know, I teach Sundays and Mondays, but there was a distinction there. There's teaching, and then there's also discipling. And I didn't get it. I got it that night. Because it came from the hearts of the men. And they're precious. The men in this room are precious. Can I get amen? So Jesus goes on further to explain who the Father is. So that we would leave here today solidified in our faith, built with confidence, be steadfast, knowing that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Can I get amen? Amen. Look what he says right here in Matthew. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was what? Lost. We were all lost. Lost. I'm talking some of us were way lost. Come on, man. I know you know people that, man. I don't think that person's ever going to get saved. Oh, come on. We have preconceived ideas about folks, don't we? But guess what? God don't look at it like we look at it. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. He'll pull you out of the gutter. Come on. Yes, right. And then he'll let you see. Seat yourselves in heavenly places. He'll put the mayors of the city in your path, and you can mingle with them now, giving them wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the word. That's what he'll do. He'll raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He'll start doing a new thing. He'll start downloading from heaven the things that we need and so desperately need in this life. And so look what he says. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Doesn't he do that? Or is it, oh man, I got 99. Let that one go. That's not the heart of God. Every one of us that comes into this earth are all precious in his sight. Why? Because he created us. Look what it says right here in verse 13. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Hallelujah. Listen, when he came and found us, man, I'm telling you, the heavens rejoiced. Your name was shout across the bow of heaven. My son, my daughter, which was lost, and now they're found. Wow, look at that. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not in his will. But unfortunately, we have our own will. He didn't make us like a robot. So if a person decides to go all the way into the bowels of torment, that's on them. But God will go out of his great means to find you. Hallelujah. And to let you know there's a better way. Look what Isaiah said here. He said, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that God is the one that saves us? You didn't get saved by anybody else but Jesus. He gets all the glory. I'm sorry. Allah couldn't save you. Buddha couldn't save you. Confucius couldn't save you. But Jesus did. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Even in the political world, the Republicans didn't save you. The Democrats sure didn't save you. None of them can save you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Only Jesus. Jesus was showing the scribes and Pharisees God's attitude toward repentant sinners and conveying to the tax collectors and sinners that his Father was willing to forgive and welcome them if they'd confess and return back to him. Wow. And so Paul, the apostle, understood this. You got to remember, Paul the apostle, he was a persecutor of the church. This guy was the original drive-by. He was the original house invader. What do you call those people? House? They come and bust down your door? What? Yeah. House invader. That's right. Paul, he would gather people and throw them in Rome so that the lions would eat them. He'd go burn down their homes. He held on to Stephen's jacket, didn't he? While he was being stoned to death. And wouldn't you think that God said, I'm done with you, boy. You know what God saw? He saw the zeal that he had that was against God. He was going to flip his heart, and that same zeal, he's going to use it for me. And that's what he's done with us. The same zeal that we was when we was up to no good. Come on. We could talk about our past. We could talk about our testimony. But bottom line, we was up to no good. And God came in and saved us. And so he gave us provision. He gave us a way of escape. How many are so blessed to know that he's given us a way of escape? So he gave Paul divine revelation to write this down, because 2,000 years later, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is going to use this word to enter into the courts of heaven. It's right here in Romans that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will what? Be saved. Look at that. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Man, I'm telling you, God made a way when there was no way. Yes, he did. Look what it says here in the next verse. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Aren't you? Man, I don't care what you've done. When you give your heart to God and glorify him, guess what? He then turns it around and shames the devil. Because we can defer that now. Man, it was old Slewfoot that made me do it. That's right. And now I'm on God's side. I'm with the Lord. I'm with the army of the Lord. He has recruited me to do the right things in life. Look at this. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Greek meaning us Gentiles. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Hallelujah. How many of you called upon him? That's right. Because it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Thank you, Jesus. See, that is the provision that the Father has for us. Man, when you get a hold of it, when you let it resonate in your heart, that God, it was you the whole time watching over my life. I'm here today because you didn't let me perish out there. I'm here today because you didn't let me die in my sin and wallow and be swallowed into hell. You did this all for me. This is why we need to embrace him and love on him. It's not about do's and don'ts of church. It's about how madly are you in love with Jesus. I'm in love with him. It's been 30 years and I still love him. And it's because of his love that teaches me how to love my wife. Because he would have never gave me her if I didn't know how to love him. Once you learn how to love him, he will bless your life and bring you the things that you need in life. And you will learn to love those things because he loves them. Can I get an amen? Somebody got to give him a shout of praise. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. We can each see ourselves in one of the characters in this parable. The rebellious child who's far away from God. The forgiven parent who welcomes him home. And the bitter sibling that doesn't think the prodigal deserves to be welcomed home. Every one of us can fall right into that category. Running away from the Lord and living in sin is never the way to find happiness. Can I get amen? Yeah. And so like the prodigal, we'll eventually find ourselves disillusioned and despairing. That's what happens. We get sold a bill of no goods by old Slewfoot. Yet the Heavenly Father forgives and welcomes us home when we forsake our sin and return to him. So he's looking, okay, forsake that now. Let it go. And allow God now to minister to you. Allow God to sow into your life. Allow God to raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And he does a better job than any one of us. Can I get amen? That's right. Because the Lord is never slack. If you think he's slack, think again. Because God's word says, he's never slack. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. He's patient with us. Listen, some of you have friends and family members that are still not serving the Lord. You need to hold on and wait on God. Can I get amen? Because God is not slack in that. He's going to bring them. He brought you. Somebody was praying for you. Right? I know someone was praying for me. That's right. Look at this. As some count slackness, but as long-suffering, meaning patience toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, God. You see, saints, God our Father will give us a new beginning. How many love your new beginning? I'm telling you, it was 30 years ago, and it's still brand new to me. This is not old hat. This is not repetitious. The Bible says that every morning he wakes us up are brand new tender mercies every morning. Tender mercies. My son, my daughter, I'm going to use you today again. Be used by him. Allow yourself to be used by him. That's right. The only hope for all of us is the grace, the love, and the forgiveness of Almighty God. Since mankind is appointed for death and then judgment, we must not put off the decision to repent and trust Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Because look at what it says right here in Hebrews. And it is appointed for man to die, what? Once. But after this, the judgment. Okay, so that's letting us know, even as believers, as soon as we depart from this body of flesh, we won't go to the judgment seat, which is the white throne. We go to the bema seat of Christ, meaning the judgment seat of Christ. And he starts dispersing all his gifts to us. Some are going to receive a bountiful. Some of us are going to receive what's due to us, but yet we are saved. Can I get amen? I've heard someone say, man, I just want to get there by the smoke of my tail. You ought to thrive for more than that. You don't want to just sneak in. Hallelujah. You want to just run in and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. And share the joy with others. Lead others to Christ. Go pray for those that are sick. Go pray for those that need a touch from the Lord. Be used in the master's hand. You know what blessed Yolanda and I yesterday? We went to go pick up that cake at Hans and Harry. And we were driving back on Bonita Road. And then there's a bridge to get back on 805 South. There was one brother with a big, huge PA system. Just him and his PA. He was preaching Jesus. And we were saying, bless them, Lord. Someone's going to hear. God, give someone ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, you impress on him to go do that because someone's going to hear your word today. Oh, come on. Saints, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty we all deserve for our sin. Can I get amen to that? And so through faith in him and his sacrifice for us, we can now, what? Be saved. This is what he offered the prodigal. What God offers repentant prodigals. My goodness. Get a hold of this now. Number one, what would be on the chart in your mind? What is the first thing he would offer the prodigal? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. On the basis of Christ's death and our faith in him, you and I can receive forgiveness. Can I get amen? Look at how Paul addresses to the Ephesian church. Look at that. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were what? Sealed. Oh my gosh. I need you to catch that. Sealed. That means God has forever settled the issue with us. Hallelujah. We are heaven bound and in hell to shun. Can I get amen? Amen? Sealed until the day of redemption. But God is saying this now. Let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you now with all malice. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Just as what? God in Christ forgave you. And so we read this scripture earlier when we took communion. This one right here. If we'll confess our sins, God will be faithful what? To forgive us and cleanse us from all. Say that with me. All unrighteousness. And so he offered forgiveness to the prodigal. What was the next one? Can you think of it? Listen. When we come to Jesus by faith, he forgives us, but then he does something else. Oh, I like that, restore. But one thing that we sometimes overlook is this one, the acceptance. We are accepted into the beloved. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, that's how God is so gracious and mighty. You see, saints, the Lord accepts us not on the basis of our good works, but because of Christ's death on the cross, which paid our sin debt in full. He paid it all. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't even care what you're going to do in the future. Everything has been placed on the cross. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of that awesome power of God, it makes you not want to sin. You're saying, oh, God, I want, man, this, you love me so much, I want to love the things you love and honor you in my walk. Look at this. Look at what Ephesians says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. Say that with me. Chose us in him. Look at this. Before he spoke the entire universe into the existence, he already knew us. When you try to get a hold of the mind of God, man, you'll be blown away. Look at this. He chose us before the foundation of the world. We should be holy without blame before him in love. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Why? Let me confirm this with the next verse. Because he predestined us. Meaning, he looked thousands and thousands and thousands of years into the future and saw you and I that we would be predestined as adopted in his mind already. Come on, try to fathom that. That we were adopted in his mind already before we came out naturally through the womb. This is the love of God. You got to get a hold of this. Because this will bring joy to your heart, knowing that when our sinfulness fails us, he is faithful to keep us. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. And then, my brother right here, he's been doing his work. You said what? Restore? That's the next one. Restoration. He restores us. See, there's a process that the Father does. He forgives us. We are accepted now in the beloved. Now he starts to rebuild our life. Come on. We were all Humpty Dumpties. Some of us had major big falls. And he had to gather all of our pieces and put them all back together again. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We are given eternal life, and God restores our dignity, our attitudes, and our thinking. He restores it. Look what it says in the Word. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast in him. And when I look at you, that's how I see you guys. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have no heart for the Word if he hasn't done a restoration in your life. Can I get an amen? You would be at home waiting for the game to come on. You guys are here because you've been restored by God. And he is continually restoring us. Can I get an amen? We haven't arrived. We're on this ride, though, with him. Man, and I love every moment. Thank you, God. And then once he sees the restoration takes place, what did the Father do? What was the first thing he did? He rejoiced, rejoicing. God's not up there, oh, man, now I got to make room for that one. No. The heavens rejoice. The heavens rejoice. Not only do we rejoice, but so do our family and friends who have been waiting for us to come home to the Father. Come on. Some of you right now are seeing God's grace with your child. You're seeing it firsthand right now. And that's because of your faithfulness. Because you're being faithful with him. If you're faithful with him, he'll be faithful in the things that pertain to your life. Can I get an amen? That's right. And the greatest rejoicing takes place right here. Look at this. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Wow. Returning, saints, returning to the Lord is the beginning of a relationship with him that can never be severed. Can I get amen? although we may sin and experience his loving discipline, we can never lose our great and wonderful salvation he has given us. I need you to be solidifying this, because I came from a church, I'm not going to say their name, but man, they're Arminian. What do I mean by that? They believe as soon as you stray away, you're cast into hell and you're lost. That's not what the Bible teaches us. In this flesh dwells no good thing. And sometimes you're going to have a mind to go do something that you're not supposed to do. But that does not take away, hallelujah, the assurance that God has given you as his child. Ask yourself this. If your child does something that deserves discipline, are you going to ostracize your kid and disown them? Or are you going to sow into their life and make that discipline and then restore him back to you? That's the key. But we're ready to kick somebody, bam. You dirty rat. So let the word of God speak for itself. Look at this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's us following Jesus. I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Maybe. Well, you know, it all depends how far you go. Is that what the word says? He says, and they shall what? Never perish. Say that with me. Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Come in. Hallelujah. Yeah, just say this with me. The devil is a liar. That's right. Man's religion will tell you you can be lost. But God wrote it in his word that no one's able to snatch you out of his hand. Come on. Take that up to court. Take that to the courts of heaven. And see if you could stand before Almighty God and say, well, you know, that's not what they taught me. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Greater than any religion, greater than any church, greater than any preacher. Than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Come on, this is where you got to give God glory. I was taught day and I used to always hear these condemnation sermons. Man, I love you, God. There's not, what more can I do, man? But just because my mind sometimes wanders in my mind, now I'm going to hell. And they'll infuse that and they'll heap it on. That's a spirit of fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Thank you, God. Now look at this. He first goes on to just to signify and to confirm this verse of Scripture. Paul does. Look at this. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise and glory. Can I get amen? Look at this. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. Now, if you can go to heaven and unseal your salvation, man, I'll sign over my house to you. Some of you can't even jump 6 inches off the ground, let alone get to heaven. Look at this. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. Hallelujah. Man, come on. How many guarantees when you take it back? I'm sorry, it's out of warranty. Then it wasn't a guarantee. He guarantees our salvation. Look at this. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know why? Because Paul further went on to tell the Roman church, hallelujah, this is why God keeps us in his hand. Because he let the whole world know that nothing, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. You need to shout and praise God. Hallelujah. For the love he has for you. Nothing could ever separate us from the love of God. Not even your sinfulness. Because we still live in a body of sin. He'll chastise you if you get out of line. But thank God that he does chastise us. You know why he chastises us? Because he loves us. Or would you rather just be ostracized and perish? No. No. Jesus said, let your conduct. Hallelujah. Look what he says right here in Hebrews. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say to the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? Huh? What can man do to you? Man, there's some people that'll chew you up and spit you out. Bam. And say all manner of iniquity toward you. But God don't do that to us. He don't do that to us. So in closing, how many is getting something out of this message? Huh? How many believe that the Father went to great lengths not only to save us, but it's in his will to keep us, to restore us, to accept us, to raise us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You are all special to Jesus. You need to know that. I don't care what you've done in life. I don't care what you've done to one another. God says, if you turn to me, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, he will take the things that the canker worm that jumped on you, and he will devour that canker worm. And he will redeem the time. He will redeem the time. So just know that you are loved by him. Know that God is for us, not against us. Can I get amen? So I leave you with this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've come into humble repentance to God, confessing that you messed up your life and need his forgiveness? For some of us, it could be more often than others. But guess what? He's still there for us. Oh, come on. I'm one of those characters. Oh, God, I need you every day. Jesus. Yeah, I know you called me to preach, and I know you called me to teach and all these wonderful things. But God, I need you. Because I still mess up things. And I need you, Lord. I need you every day. Every moment. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I can't go anywhere. I can't achieve nothing in this life without you, God. You've been too good to us. You've been too good to me. And we all deserve punishment. Yet, you flipped it around. You flipped the script. And you have given us life. Life more abundantly. My goodness. We don't deserve it. But yet, hallelujah, we embrace it. Can I get amen? Thank you, Lord. Because outside of these walls, outside of the Word of God, nothing can save us. But you, Jesus. Number two. If so, how have you seen the Lord's restoration in your life? How have you seen that? Once you have repented and once you have given everything to him, what have you seen? What's the evidence? Oh, let me put it, what's the evidence now in your life? Knowing that God's hand is upon you. You You know what the evidence is that I see for all of you? You're right here worshiping and praising Him and giving Him glory for your life and thanking Him for every moment. That's the only evidence that I care to see, is that you love the Lord. And you're here because you love Him. You're not here for me or Sister Yolanda. You're not here for no one else. You're here for Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen.
All about Jesus. It's all about Him and what He's doing in our life. Number three, if not, why are you delaying? If there's something that needs to be confessed, confess it to Him. Don't run for Him. He's waiting patiently. You just come to Him in humility and say, oh, God, I soiled my pants again. Help me, Lord. That's right. Come on. We all find ourselves in that area. Somewhere in our life, we have that moment where we soil our pants. Come on. Let's be transparent here. And yet God does a mighty work to cleanse us and to wash us and to purify us. And to set us, He sets us up upon the rock that we would glorify Him and magnify Him. And lastly, how has the representation of the earthly Father in this story enriched your understanding of your heavenly Father? How do you correlate the two? How do you combine them together? Number one, forget about the father that was probably absent in your life and glean on the heavenly Father that's present in your life. Work with that now. Move forward with Him. Learn to forgive your father. Learn to praise God for him, despite of him maybe not being there for you. Love him despite of the situation. Give God praise and glory and honor because God loves him too. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you are great and mighty and awesome God. Lord, you drew us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we don't deserve this great salvation, but yet you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. It is you, Lord, that has gone great lengths. You waited patiently. You were looking for us. You were wanting us. You were watching out for us. And as we started walking toward you, you embraced us. And our life now is filled with joy because what you've done for us. I'm praying for someone that's listening that's never received this great joy, that's never understood the love of a father. And maybe you're here, in spite of the circumstance, that God loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But for those who have never surrendered, who have never given their life to Christ, we want to pray this simple prayer with you as we end this service. And we're going to believe in faith that God has supernaturally placed this message before you right now. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, Lord Jesus, the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is Jesus worthy? Come on, is God worthy? Amen. He's so worthy to be praised.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.